Test 7, Wednesday the 27th of May. Rabbi Rafi Garson, Jews and Danger in Halacha.
I just want to share with you today a couple of ideas. Obviously, I gave a couple of days ago on Shavuot night in my Kehillah. There's source sheets you can pass around with Mekorot on. Some of these ideas I heard from Rabbi Fran Shlita a while back, others are my own. And the truth of the matter is, what we're going to be trying to do today, this is a shiur that lasted well over an hour. We're going to have to try and compact it into half an hour. We're just going to be talking about the Rashi Prakim, the ideas of... the main ideas of this context, which is the ideas of Jews in danger. I really want to deal with today four specific shailas. Rav Asher Weiss, based in Yerushalayim, has a kuntras he wrote recently, which deals with three of them, and there's another one I want to deal with separately. I want to leave you with a little bit of homework as well. So he asked the following. We know that recently there was a massive outbreak of Ebola, and there was... close to 24,000 cases, over 10,000 deaths, and a group of wonderful doctors called Doctors Without Borders who would travel to these places in Sierra Leone and various other places around there in Guinea and Liberia to treat these patients. And we also know that a lot of these patients sadly infected the doctors as well, and doctors also died. So the question is, if you have a Jewish doctor, is it a heroic thing that he would go out to do such a thing like this? Is it something which is foolish? The idea of putting yourself in a potential sakana to save others. Question number one. Question number two. My very dear friend, I'm very emotional when I speak about this, but I had a very dear friend who lived in Har Nof, who was my neighbor, Rav Kapinski. He was one of the four kedoshim last year in Har Nof, who was killed in the morning there in the shul. And we know from the witnesses that in the middle of that event, when these two Arab animals came in and started... massacring the Jews there with knives and with guns, he decided that he would fend them off with shtenders and with chairs, and he began throwing them at the terrorists, thereby buying time for others to escape. And sadly, he paid for it with his own life. And he asked, "V'shal chaveroi masa kedin shenichnas asmo lesakana kedel lasir chaverav." Did he do the right thing by putting himself into danger by trying to save his friends? And the third question he deals with is something which is slightly more contemporary, and we'll see perhaps historically how things have changed, and that is a person allowed to give a kidney donation? We all have two. You know you cannot live without one. Can you give a kidney donation? Questions being that the person who donates a kidney is likely to have more problems, and if you see there on your sheets in the second source, just in 2010, it's not so clear-cut that, you know, a person donates a kidney, that he's not likely to die. The risk is quite great. Is a person allowed to do that? The fourth question I want to deal with is more to do with what's happening in Medina Yisrael, Chayil Sahar, which have to deal with this on a day-to-day basis and putting their lives on the line in order to save their comrades who are suffering, have been injured by enemy fire. A couple of weeks ago, we stood in Auschwitz-Birkenau with another group I took to Poland, and I told them how really this area has ramifications well over all areas of halakha, and people had to deal with it within the Shoah as well. And I told them very, very briefly, without going into the maskana, the story that Rav Tzvi Hirsch Meisel discusses in the Hakdama of Mekadshei Hashem, where he, unbelievably, al pines, managed to smuggle a shofar into Birkenau, and remarkably managed to blow on the night of Rosh Hashanah in 1944 in 20 barracks. He managed to blow shofar 100 kolot times 20, when a man who has no energy is quite remarkable. And he discusses a case where 1,400 boys were taken into a certain barracks who were going to be gassed the next day, and they were screaming out, "Rebbe, Rachamim, Rachamim, save us," and whether or not he would be allowed to go in. Their last will and testament, they wanted to hear the shofar before they died. And he has a whole halachic analysis about whether or not he was allowed to go in there or not. He did go in the end, but he concludes it was the wrong thing, al pi halacha, because if the SS would have caught him, he would have been taken with him as well. And it's really quite fascinating. It's out of print, but you can get it on HebrewBooks.org. It's well worth reading, especially on Tisha B'Av. The other questions I want to deal with very, very quickly over the next 25 minutes. Again, we're going to be skimming through some of the Mekorot, excuse me, because we don't have much time. But the key source to unlock this whole area our two Gemarot which we find on page 1 and so 3. It's Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Ein Gimel, and Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Bet. Very, very quickly. When a person sees his friend that is drowning in the sea, in a river, or he's being dragged away by a wild animal, or he's being attacked by bandits, how do you know you have an obligation to save him? Because the Pasuk says, Lo tamod adam recha, do not stand idly by in your brother's blood. Second Gemara is more well known, that a person is traveling in the desert, there's only one jug of water. If they both have it, they'll both die. If one has it, he'll survive, the other person will die. And we have machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Petura, whether or not you have to share it or not. Rabbi Akiva says, Chayecha kodmim, okay, from the pasuk, Chay achicha imach, you drink the water, the other person dies. Comes along Ben Petura, says, no, better that both of them should die, and one should not see the death of his friend. Okay, it's a very fundamental machlokin. But according to this, if you just see it black and white as you have on your sheets in front of you, there is a very clear contradiction stira in the Gemara. So how do you reconcile these things? So I would suggest as follows. A person standing by a river and sees someone that is drowning, and I can swim, okay? So the halacha is I need to jump in, I need to save him, because I know I will probably survive as well. But let's say the person is not in just any river, a person has traveled to Toronto, which I've done several times, you go to the beautiful area of Niagara Falls, and you see your friend who is 100 meters away from the rapids, and as it's about to drop, you know, it goes a lot quicker, and you're not an Olympic swimmer. And if you jump in, the chances are you're both going to go over. So in that case, the halacha is chayecha kodem. So you don't have an obligation to say, now that's very simple, straightforward, you can go home and have a good night's sleep. Where it gets complex is the Bet Yosef, who really puts a span in the works. The Bet Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, writes over there on page 1, source 4, that he goes to Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says that without going to the rationale, but even to put yourself into a situation of doubtful danger, you are obligated, it is a mandatory requirement from the Torah to go ahead and do that. Now, amazingly, when Bet Yosef writes something, usually that is paskened in halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. But this is not paskened in halacha. He doesn't bring this down as a psak, which is normal. Why is that? So the smart, okay, you'll see. I've done little biographies for my Kehillah. I'm sure you know all these people. Rabbi Wine said once, okay, all these acronyms. The rabbis actually had real names. Okay, so the smart was Rabbi Shua ben Alexander Cohen Falk, and you have the details down there. He writes down there. Gamzei Shmita Mechaber Moram is underlined. Moram referring to his rav, because his rav was Ramah, the Ramosha Isilis. So he says the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch left this out. Why? Because Kimon Shaposki Marifa Rama Marosha Tu Lo Hivil Bepiskehem. The three Amudei HaRav, the pillars of halakhic analysis and teaching, they left it out. Since they left it out, and really Shulchan Aruch and Rama based on the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh, so therefore they left it out as well. The question is why they left it out. So the Pitchei Shuva, which you have over there on page 2, the first source on page 2, he says very, very quickly, he quotes the Agudat Azov, and he says, he says in the second line, Mishum the Svirei de Tamuritinam Paligal Yerushalmi Beha. Very simply, the reason the Shulchan Aruch left it out is because we have a fundamental machlok between the Yerushalmi and the Babli, and we know that in halakhic psak we always follow the Babli over the Yerushalmi, and that is why the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah did not pass in this halakha in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the question therefore is where does the Babli argue with the Yerushalmi? So the Agudat Ezov suggests as follows. If you look on page 2 in source 2, we have that Gemara Sanhedrin over there, and towards the end, it says, Minayin tamud lomar b'hashevot alo, that how do we know that you have to save his life? Because the Torah says b'hashevot alo, you have to return the object to him, and the Gemara says, Imehatam avamina mila b'nafshe, ava b'mitrach margi aguri eima loik mashmanan. In other words, let me just simplify this. Just like I have an obligation, that if I find your wallet, I need to return your wallet. So I have an obligation. If you're losing your life, I need to return your life to you. Says the Gemara, so why do we need two pesukim? Why do we need the pasuk of lo tamod adam re'echa and v'ashev otedo? So Gemara says, you know why I need two pesukim? Because imehatam, if I would just learn from there, I would say, if I cannot swim, and I see someone's drawing, so I'd say to you, you know what, please can you save him? He said, what do you save him? I've got a beautiful new suit, I'm not destroying my suit. He's saying, you know what, I'll give you £500, just jump in and save him. You can buy a new suit, okay? The guy says, okay, I'll jump in, I'll save him. How do I know that you need to pay someone in order to save someone else's life? So that's why you need one pasuk to tell you that even when there's no payment, one pasuk to tell you when there is payment. Ask the Agudat Ezov, I can say something more pashut, something a lot more clearer, a lot more fun. One pasuk to tell me, you know what, you need to save a Jew's life when there's a danger to me. And one pasuk to save a Jew's life when there's no danger to me. Vaistois, coming from his father, not bad. Vaistois, since it's the halacha, Gemara did not say that that is the reason why you need to psukim. Okay, it's therefore clear that if I have a suffix sakana, if I have a doubtful doubt, I am not obligated to save the person. Okay. Now, and if we conclude that the Gemara, the Babli argues with Yerushalmi. Now, whether you like this proof or not, because I think the proof itself is a little bit fetched. The bottom line is, the Shulchan Aruch does not quote this Yerushalmi, and he argues. So when you have a fundamental machloka between the two Gemaras, whether a person is allowed to put himself in a suffix or not, the halacha is you don't. But this is where it gets complex. If I'm standing on the bank of a river, and there's a 10% chance that I might drown too, or let's say, it doesn't happen very often in this neck of the woods, but in Elshe everybody has dogs, okay? Somebody has a Rottweiler, and he's being mauled in the park, okay, by this Rottweiler. But I've got a baseball bat. I'm only going to smash him over the head once, and that's the end of the dog. But there's a 10% chance that the dog might turn on me and attack me. So if I do nothing in these cases, he'll definitely die. If I do something, something could happen to me. Am I bound by halacha to put myself into a suffix sakana for, say, 10%? The Olam said. 10%. Anyone? Else you're a bit more interactive than this. What's, I know you're English, but come on.
Huh? What's normally meant to do?
If it's 10%, yeah. What about 20%?
We want to share about putting your life in sakana for parnosa.
Right.
And they brought proof from Gomorrah that people used to go up trees in order to pick. And there was a risk they would fall down, Shemone Esra, etc.
Yeah.
And I think they said, the Moslem say that up to 15% chance.
15?
Up to 15% okay, chance fine. You could put your life in danger.
Interesting. I don't know if you can go to that, talking about your own life. Here, you're saving someone else. So you see a man being attacked by a Rottweiler, you've got a bat. 20% chance you might get killed as well. You save him?
Very good.
I'm not talking about animal rights. Can you go ahead and save the guy, alright? Okay, so what about 30%? Okay, so here's the crux. This is the crux of the issue, okay? What's the percentage? So most people, I said in my shul, most people said 10, 20, 30%. As there's no guarantees in this world, I can walk out of here and get knocked over by a truck. Okay, chas v'shalom. Okay, but how much suffix has to exist that I say that I am not mechuyev? I am mechuyev. That's the question. Again, and bear in mind, we're talking about here being over a lava, lo tamod adam recha. Okay? So practically, how do we even define this? So we have to really go back to one of the great Sephardic poskim, the Radvaz. Radvaz, you don't have to go through it now, you have his brief bio there from Wikipedia, okay, on page 2. But suffice it to say, he was a contemporary of the Shulchan Aruch, he was the chief rabbi of Egypt, he wrote over 3,000 shuvas, okay, an amazing, amazing man, at a very young age already, he was a dayan. So he deals with the following question, okay, it's quite fascinating, we only got 17 minutes left, so we have to move rather quickly. So his question was as follows, Shalti memeno diach ha-dati ha-mashareiti katuvi ma-mar shiton li-sen hanach li-le-katsas ever-echad shen chamet mimeno amiti shachar. Very simple. You're dealing with a certain area, I think it's written from Turkey, where you have a desperate ruler, king, a tsar, whatever it may be, and he takes a Jew from the community, he says very simple, look, I have an issue with another Jew. And he writes to this other Jew and says, I have a very simple ultimatum for you. Either you come back and let me kill you, or I take your friend, and I cut off his arm. Okay, very simple. So, and the king says, it's not something he's going to die from, but if you don't come back, your friend's dead. Let that hang for a minute, okay? That's the question. So he writes at the top there, on page 3, you see at the top in blue, So at first glance, he brings it from Gemara Shabbat to try and explain this, we're not going through the halakhic analysis of it, you can read in your own spare time. But again, this is only a quote from the Shuvah, it's really about 10 pages long. He says, the religious one should know, why should the person have his arm cut off, you should go ahead and be killed, right? But then he says something quite remarkable. He gives several reasons why you shouldn't go back.
You should not go back.
You should not go back. Okay, in other words, you come back, I got the question right. Either you come back and I'll cut off your arm or I'll kill your friend. The other way around, sorry. You come back, let me cut off your arm, or otherwise I'll kill your friend. So he says, in paragraph 2 over there, who's to say if he cuts off your arm, you won't die? Maybe you'll bleed to death. And he says over there, and I saw someone just scratched his ear and he bled to death. And there's a number one, who's to say that if he cuts off your arm or your leg, whatever, you won't bleed to death? Number one. And number two, with the skipping down to the fourth paragraph, we have a very basic premise in Yiddishkeit, and that is Derechei Darkenon Bechol Netivot Hashem. That the ways of the Torah are pleasant. And therefore, you meskimim lasecher ve'asbara ve'ech yaleh datenu sheyaniach adam nesameh tanavo lachtoch et yado raglo kedesh lo yamit chavro. That doesn't gel with this idea. That a person should allow his arm or leg to be cut off or his eye to be blinded in order that his friend should not die. Hilgach any right time ledin zeh. Therefore, there's no rationale for a person to do such a thing. And he concludes, ve'im yesh shakanat nefashot. And if there's even a doubtful danger that if you do that, okay, you're likely to be killed, harezek chasid shoteh. You are considered to be an idiot. Despeka didei adif mivadai dechav. And therefore, when this man tells you, right, let me cut off your arm or I'll kill you, you would have thought, I'll kill your friend. The maskana of their advice is you do not have to go back. And you let your friend be killed. Sorry? It doesn't make sense to say that I should have an arm cut off in order that someone else shouldn't be killed.
It was very nice to say to your friend, that's also a nice thing.
Okay, this is what he says. Suffix sakana, you might die yourself. Okay, that's what he said. Now, Rav Hamvad Yosef and Yechavedat, on page 3 at the bottom there.
It doesn't make any difference whether or not he's going to put his life in danger. He doesn't have to suffer at all for his friend.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah. It's nothing to do with whether or not he might get an infection.
No, it's a separate...
He wouldn't have to suffer even a slight inconvenience.
No, exactly. Yeah. It's not the Rav Hamvad. Okay, now, the Yechavedat, Rav Hamvad Yosef Zatzal, he quotes a different Radvaz. And this other Radvaz seems to imply that even though there's a doubtful sakana, without going into the details, or you can see it on your sheet, afal piken chayev lehatzir, I've underlined it in both. That even if there's a doubtful sakana, the person has to put himself into danger and save himself, and has to put himself into danger to save his friend. That being the case, is a very, very blatant contradiction between the Radvaz we just mentioned and the Radvaz over here. So he says, in explanation, Ela bada shemechalek ben safik shakur leben ksat safik leben ksat safik. In other words, that really the Radvaz is making a distinction between something which is a partial doubt and a clear doubt. So in other words, if it's something which is 50-50, a 50% chance, then definitely don't have to put yourself in danger. But if it's less, then it's maybe. Anything above 50, so you're not obligated to put yourself in danger. But again, it's not so clear cut. The Radvaz himself, which I don't have on the page here because it wasn't in Bar Ilan, but in the Sfarim himself, he has one line which he concludes, Ulam sarech lishkolo ha'inyan heitev. He said, you really have to analyze the situation before you well. Im yesh safek sakana ve'lo nedakdek biyoter. Is there really a doubtful danger? And don't be too conservative, okay? If somebody falls into a pool and you can swim, you jump in and you save them. If it's a minimum doubt, you cannot be too conservative. Don't have your arm cut off, okay? But he doesn't say exactly how much of a percentage, but Ravadia seems to be saying his suggestion is a 50-50. So anything above would be a problematic thing. You don't have to put yourself in danger. Anything below, yes, and didactic biota. Now, let's go back in reverse order, three questions that Rav Asher Weiss deals with. Firstly, with kidney donations. The truth is there are three teshuvot, okay? There are three teshuvot that deal with kidney donations, and Yechavedat brings them down. The first one is Rav Yaakov Weiss. Again, I don't know when this was written. Probably somewhere in the Minchas Yisak, probably about 40 years ago. And he writes over there on page 4, very clearly, Le'asur litrom kliya lecholek liot shenishkafa lo sakana. Person is not allowed to donate kidney. Shehoel v'kayemet eshorot shel shakana b'maaseh anituach shel atorem. But since it's a very clear danger in the procedure itself, therefore, and also there's a likelihood of major health issues with living with one kidney, you're not allowed to do it. In addition to Sitz Eliezer, Zatzar Rav Vandenberg, he also says the same thing. Comes on Rav Avadi Yosef, and he writes on page 4, Ulam be'emet shanim salam mipi roifim mumchim. He said, look, I have it on good authority from the doctors in Israel. Who are Yireh Shamayim. Shedargat ha-sikun be'otzat ha-kliya le'adam ha-torem hi mu'etet mo'od. That really, donating a kidney is a very, very minimal risk, and therefore, there's not a problem with it whatsoever. Rav Asher Weiss writes in his contract, and he says, Luna misafina mechaberai, that if I wasn't too afraid of my friends, I would say that today a person is obligated to give a kidney. So here you have it's a quite radical position, I think. But you have the entire structure. You have Dayan Weiss and the Siciliezer who say it's awesome. You have Rav Amadi Yosef who says absolutely muta, and you have Rav Asher Weiss saying if you had enough guts, he'd be matrid lechatchila, you have to go ahead and do it. Now, it could be that this is just a transgression, but basically a timeline of when these halachas were written, or when these shuls were written, and maybe as medical expertise has improved and the risk is minimal, could be that had they written the shuls nowadays, things would have been slightly different. Again, but the Chabadah itself was written well over 20 years ago, so you're not talking about a massive difference in time, but nonetheless, that's what he said. Now, going back to the second question about the man in Haranov, my neighbor, right, Rav Kapinski, that's up. Show me an Akum Daman. So, did he do the right thing? So, the whole debate we've been discussing now, the last 23 minutes, is really about one person saving an individual. Rav Weiss says, but when you're dealing with the rabbin, when you're dealing with a large crowd, then the standards change. Okay, and here it's obvious it would be a great mitzvah to save them if you can. There's not a chiyuv, he says, but it would be a great mitzvah. You know, we know the story from the 2006 war. Okay, with Rav Roy Klein. Okay, if you haven't seen it, you should Google it on YouTube. It's a very moving story about the man who, a religious soldier who saw the grenade coming his way, and he jumped on the grenade to save his entire platoon, screaming out Shema Yisrael, therefore inspiring the secular soldiers within his platoon. Because the rabbi says, he says, if you don't say this, how can anyone be a soldier? You know, it's dangerous in war. And the answer is that war is different. We're going to see that in a second. These halakhas don't necessarily apply in war. And he writes soldiers in a different category, and by the same token, he writes firemen and policemen in a different category, okay? Since they're there to protect the rabbim, okay? So therefore, even if it's a sakana, they're allowed. And by the same token, going back to the first question, he said, doctors, by definition, dedicate their lives to save others. And we need people like this within society. Therefore, the Ebola doctors who go out to cure Ebola patients would be allowed to do that simply because that is the job of a doctor and it's not an issue. Now, if we move very quickly in the last 7 minutes, I want to talk about really day-to-day things that are happening in Medina Yisrael Chayile Sahal with the soldiers who go to war to protect our country, Eretz Yisrael. So, the Tzitzit Eliezer has a very long tshuva that deals with a very, very sensitive question. It's worth going through it because it's amazing insights that he comes to, but I'm just going to give you the highlights. So he says as follows on page 4. Hashaylahi, I'm going to forget the question, I'm just going to the actual question in red. Chayal shenisa besadeh ha-marcha. You have a soldier, a Jewish soldier, who is on the battlefield wounded. Vehu nishan mutal b'shetach mesukan v'chashuv le'oyef. And he's in an area of enemy territory. If you don't take him out, or you don't treat him immediately, he's going to die from his wounds. Or if you don't do him, he might even die. Okay, now. Soldiers that go in there are going to be putting themselves into a doubtful danger. They're coming under enemy fire. And therefore, it's not just like a little doubt. Elo safek mevusas is very clear down. Al kena she'ela im hichoyev. So question number one, are they obligated to go and save this soldier? Or al kopanim mutarim, are they being permitted? Lachnis et asman besafek sakana kedeh lasir chavaram vivadai sakana. Can they put themselves into doubtful, even definite danger, to save their friend who is in a definite danger? Afin besafek ha'olo, she'en merchavim gam lo, rasha'im lachnis, and maybe they're not even permitted to do so. That was his question. So he deals with a lot of different principles. If we skip to section Hey, okay, and within the actual tshuva, there's probably about 10 pages in between, he says as follows. V'im chavero, based on what everything he said above, if his friend, gam ken natun rak besafek sakana bivad, your friend's only in doubtful danger, bechol kigon ze bichlal yeshama shekulam yodu she'enu mechuyavah v'gam enu rashayin nachnisa etamo besafek sakana. Halach is clear. You don't have to put yourself in danger, mishum safek sakana dechavere, because your friend is in doubtful danger. Bimken, and therefore, lechora yesh lachayal et kol ha'amul b'sakanat halacha al-idon shiratenu, l'ma shelo mibay yeshenu mechuyavim le'achnis et atzom v'sakvek, z'na mishum sapek z'na shechavro chayel, v'idugin gam she'afiru l'erashim bekach. Not only should the question is debated, should you don't even have to go in to save him, because of the sapek sakana, and according to the Radvaz, a soldier that would save his friend would be considered to be an idiot. Chasid shorta. Now, we know that that's not the case in war. And he writes in Zion, Ulam bibonenut v'chadira yoter ma'amika b'nichveh halacha nimsa shelo ken hadavar v'minchama halacha b'zeh akeret. When it comes to war, you have a different set of rules. And how he gets to that conclusion is actually fascinating. I don't have time to do it. It's really based on Gemara Shavuos, which you can look at. But he says at the bottom of page 5, Laman mimuzeh, shamalchut ha'akoach ha'sholet be'am. That when you have a nation, you have a kingdom, that has the power to infuse within the people. Essentially send out an entire people to war. And even if that war is only a reshut, okay, it's a non-obligatory war, which we define according to the Rambam, hamilchama shenilcham hamelech im shar ha'amim, a war that a king or nation fights against other people, kedel le'archiv gevul Israel, in order to extend the boundaries of Israel, ularbot b'gedrotov v'shmo ha'amim, to make it greater. Even that's such a war, okay, when a person is in that situation, things, the halakha changes. And he says, on the last page, we're going to rip through this in the next three, four minutes. He says, "Biyod beken shelamanu me'amud demichamashani." Since we've now established that war is different, mistaber lomar that keshem sheyoshal limod me'amutar bemichamash yeh mutar kam lemamokom acher. You can't use one to define the other. You can't say that things are permitted in war are permitted elsewhere. Kach yeshal gam limod me'arasu bemakom acher sheyasu gam bekam kemichamash. Therefore, things are prohibited elsewhere would be prohibited in war situations. Zot omeret. The basic premise of Judaism that your life comes first does not apply in the war situations. Therefore, this doesn't apply anymore. Anyone who's at war, it's considered like one unit, מחויבים ניסור כל אחד אחד לנשו בעד הצלת חייו של משנהו. Every single Jewish is bound morally and halachically to save each other. The gandabar zeh nichnas gam ken bichlan hilchot zibur. It comes into a whole different arena of halachot of hilchot zibur. Ubegeder hanhagat hamedina v'takanata. Now, he writes at the end. You can read through this in a minute. Maybe we'll have time. My question was as follows, and I've sent out. We have a WhatsApp group that Rabbi Tugendhat sent with 100 rabbis on it from across the world, and I haven't yet got an answer. I tried to find a tshuva written for the following thing. There are three Israeli soldiers, ex-Israeli soldiers in my community, and I posed this to them, and they told me what would happen, but I wanted to see inside. So my homework for you is, you can let me know, and Radudi has my email, and you can let me know. My question is as follows. Till now we've been discussing soldiers that have been wounded on the battlefield, okay? Do you have an obligation to go in and save them or not? If the soldier is dead, you have a corpse, and yes, it's morally right in order to uplift the morale of Chayel Esahal. So they say we're always trying to bring them back, so they shouldn't be defiled, they shouldn't be Nivol Amed, and should be Kibre Yisrael. I get all of that, and you know, and the soldiers in my community said to me, well, you know, if the captain says you've got to go and save, you've got to go and save. My question though is, Api Halacha, you're not dealing with Safek Sakana, okay, of your Chavre, because he's dead, okay, would a soldier have a halachic obligation to put himself in a vadai sakana, okay, in order to save the body of the corpse of his friend? Because till now, the whole debate that I've seen in all the poskim deals with someone who's alive, right? He had potential of saving his life. If he's already dead, okay, what the halach? Somebody told me Rav Goran has a tshuva about this. I have not yet found it, okay. But it's clear that the Israeli army has this very basic principle. They try and always bring back the bodies, okay, so they shouldn't. They shouldn't be degraded and should have Kever Yisrael. Question is there a very basic halakhic premise that would allow such a thing? Do we take the psak of the Sitz Eliezer that within war halakh is different, and even if it's just saving a corpse, okay, you'd have to do it, okay? Obviously that's what's done in the army, but from a halakhic standpoint, would that be permitted? If anyone has any tshuvas about this or can actually point me in the right direction, I'd be greatly appreciated. Our time's up. I wish you all a wonderful day. Change.